But at night time, when he starts thinking about the fact that he's moving on in 80 years, and in a few years, he's going to be nothing, and 30 years from now, they won't even remember him. And even the money that he made would probably be dispersed by then. It is a frightening experience. Frightening experience. What psychologist can help a person with such a problem? The answer is none, because the problem is reality. The problem is that he's being guided by the instinctual and being fooled by fantasy. But the person who lives according to reality and follows a fellow routine and lives a life of Hoffman for sees eternity, that person is happiness has nothing to do with psychological health. All this, and if a person is psychologically ill, true, he must attend to it just like a person is physically ill. There's no difference. It's just like saying if a person is physically healthy, he's going to be happy. There's nothing to do with it. There's plenty of people physically healthy, very healthy, and then miserable. They're suicidal. Okay? And psychologists have the highest rate of suicide. So that's some kind of indication for their, how far they've gotten in their coffin. But anyway, it's a pretense. It's a pretense, and it's something that most people in our society are taken in by. The moment they're unhappy, they run to a psychologist. We have a different philosophy. First is unhappy, he goes to a hospital. That's what it means. First is a problem, he goes to a hospital. Could be a psychological problem, could be it's not. Depends, you have to analyze what it is. Okay, I'm going to put yourself. Yes.
What?
The only reason people think the hermit is happy is because the hermit is not burdened with the problems that they have. But he has other problems. Believe me, he has other problems. Anybody that studies these repeatedly will do right away. Otherwise, they really come out. That was reasonable, very good. People are very anxious to come out. Okay. When the mind is engaged, when the mind is fully engaged, it is nowhere. And if it is somewhere, then the mind isn't fully engaged. The mind is fully engaged, the person is not aware of the surroundings. The person is aware of the surroundings, the mind is not fully engaged. There's always this, you know, this romantic image of a person, you know, studying on a mountaintop and, you know, relaxing. It's just a true fact, because as far as he's studying, he's not on the mountaintop. As far as he's relaxing, he's not studying. So it's an impasse. Studying is a phenomenon of the mind. And if the mind is fully engaged, it doesn't know the place that it's in. If it's aware of the place that it's in, then there's nothing there. That's why a person who... what the people who don't have that ability, who don't have the ability to use their mind, they're always looking for pleasant surroundings. So they'll spend fortunes on a beautiful home, which they feel will give them pleasant surroundings. But the truth of the matter is that after a short while, they find that men can't be satisfied with one beautiful surrounding. You get tired pretty quickly. Even if a person is on the most beautiful spot, the most beautiful mountain, after a while, he wants to see something else. He needs a change. He must have a change. He always has a change. So this surrounding lasts a very short time. Of course, the money is gone forever. But anyway, but the point is that a chacham really doesn't have much. To him, these things are not very important. Because to the chacham wants to spend his life in the world of the mind. Whether the mind is not aware of the surroundings, the surroundings don't make any difference. Isn't that a person running the cases and all the cases? Unless he's in a situation that's disturbing. But basically, if he's in the surroundings that are not disturbing, so his mind is fully engaged, and it doesn't matter where he is. He has, his view is a different view. His view is a different theory. So the place, this idea of this idyllic picture, is another fantasy of man. First is in the base matters, he has he's in the greater surroundings. Mind is fully engaged, there's nothing, he has no sex, no relationship. That's why people who are of a higher nature aren't drawn to these type of things. Because they know very well that these things are basically empty, and that the way a person really enjoys himself is through the high element of his nature. That he doesn't know too many surroundings yet. Okay. Through his own life, and each person has to know how to be able to excuse. If your emotions are drawn, you can't, you're not in a situation where you're ready to sit down and contemplate a patient. But that's something else. Yeah, there's certain means have to be used for a person to make sure they're capable of doing this. I'm not saying that's true. There are psychologists who won't say, I'm going to make you happy. They'll say that this is as happy as he could be. This is equally fair. Either way, sir. If he tells you he's as happy as he could be, he's wrong. And if he tells you he's going to make happy, he's wrong. I'm just saying the attitude. I'm not talking about a specific kind of thing. And either one, sir. What he's not saying is the truth. If the truth is another part of your nature, if you're not satisfied, you'll never be happy. If you're satisfied, you can attain unbelievable happiness. And that's something that he doesn't say, and that's something that he doesn't focus on. If it's non-existent, that's what's all about. Okay? And then it doesn't play a role in human life. It's a denial of such a thing. Okay. That's my point.
So how did
you... In order to help a person, you yourself have to be perfect. Ramsey. Ramsey is the higher level of a person is, where not only the second level, there's a certain amount of perfection a person must attain for himself, but the Rambam says in order to help others, you need even a higher level of perfection. And that's it. And that's why unfortunately this society is not geared to this kind of a thing. Society, the whole philosophy of the society affects these professions as well. But several things. I mean, I can only say that in my experience it's been very different. I would say I've been impressed by certain people that I've read about, yes. Certain rare individuals, yes. But on the whole, there is a certain kind of a scam that's an insidious scam in the presentation and the pretense the psychologists make as to what kind of knowledge exactly they have and what exactly they can do with that. And man, given the fact that he's not psychologically ill, is intrinsically an unhappy creature. Intrinsically an unhappy creature. Because his instincts go by nature and by definition to fantasy, and he has another part of him that shows him stark reality. It's impossible for him to be happy. Impossible. Because instinctively he wants to satisfy himself. Even in the sublimated form. Whatever the sublimated form should take. But the reality that his mind sees before his mind's eyes is devastating because it goes completely against all the fantasies. That's why physically he's always going to be, he'll never be happy. It's impossible. Always in conflict. He's by nature and by definition a creature of conflict. He's a person who's really a creature of fantasy, but he's destined to live in reality. That combination is impossible. An animal is different. An animal has never seen, what? What? Of course. Well, Australian Kayan Negro. That's often what Australian and Negro sounds young Negro. It means the rush is turbulent like the sea. If you look into any of the great tyrants of history, you won't find a peaceful life behind that tyrant. You say, Kayan Negro, turbulent. Turbulent, fear, paranoia. What do you think all these killings and the crazy rages that they go through, the purges and all these things. What does it stem from? It doesn't stem from a calm, happy person. It's impossible. It's impossible. The more the person is into the instinctual, the more unhappy he has to be, because the more he goes away from reality. And he can't deny the reality. The reality is always there. Animal doesn't have any problem. Animal has no idea how long he'll live or what time does he know. He's geared for a simple existence. Man is not geared for conflict. He's geared for conflict. He must have conflict. Okay? How does the Torah remove the conflict? It's because Torah drains off the energy from the fantasy and gives him the satisfaction from his very perception of reality. That is why he's not in conflict anymore with the Torah. In Torah, it's just the opposite. The energy is drained away from the fantasy, drains into something else. Into viewing a picture which gives you satisfaction just in beholding it. And in that way, his energy is not in fantasy, and he has a satisfaction from reality itself. That is the way the Torah gives a person happiness. Yes. On the tip of the tongues of people, if the moment a person has something wrong, then you go to psychologist, which implies that person's going to attain salvation. That is false. Depends on the kind of problem the person has. Depends on the kind of problem the person has. Right? He's away from frustration. He's away from frustration in the method of Torah because he's enjoying reality. But he's enjoying the reality of his mind too. Now they're called the same energy. Same energy source that goes, that is good for the instinctual, is utilized in the higher spheres of life. That's an interesting thing. This is the Chazal says, the Rambam says it, and there's a Zohar that says it. The Zohar, the description that the Zohar has of the soul, is the same kind of thing. It's in the whole Ochma, the black light and the white light, and it's all the description of this, especially the description of this kind of a thing. That the energy is the same energy as you. And the Rambam says it's kind of possible. The Rambam says that a person that's thinking about having thoughts that are about sexual thoughts, the Rambam says that a person needs to be also, this is a direct analogy towards Chachma. He says, "Ein Yehurim Boyin Ella Beleiv Ponim Min Achachma." As long as a person is devoid of Chachma, then you can have the Hurim. But if he has Chachma, then the energy is given into the other Chachma. That's the Rambam. The Rambam really is the Zohar, and interestingly enough, Plato says the same thing. Okay. What is this? Vayedik Yerumimim? Even a blind man knows that he's naked? What it means is, it's not the kind of knowledge, not simple knowledge, but it means reflection upon the self. You realize that he's worth it. Mitzvah HaTorah Lovin Esatlan Mena. The reflection of self-evaluation, not a physical perception. That's what Rashi means. Exactly, that's what Rashi means. That's the goal. That is judgment, yeah. Person is the one of heaven is they want to think about themselves and come up with a good feeling. That's one meaning of heaven. Okay? In that sense, you'll say that a person who's involved in Chachma all day long is not happy, but you never thought about himself. You see? But there's another meaning to the word happiness. And that is that the person's existence is a worthwhile one. Okay? Is a worthwhile existence, one that a person would choose. Okay? That's a different meaning to the term happiness. When people say they want to be happy, you have to ask them what they mean. Okay? Do they mean they want easy to put that? Because most people are a good thing. And your society endorses that and encourages that kind of thing. So when our society, a person wants to be happy, he wants to walk out of it. That's it. I made it. If you can have that feeling, the rest of his life goes out of the game. That's his kind of happiness. And he's reflecting upon himself and coming up with a feeling. But the other kind of happiness, and that's really happiness to the Torah, is not reflecting upon himself. So happiness means having an existence in which a person attains the greatest satisfaction. And that is when you don't reflect upon yourself. It is the opposite. Okay? So the term that's meaning. Adam Rishon was happy not in our sense, the sense that people are looking for. It's in a different sense. It was very worth their existence, very enjoyed their existence. He was able to partake of Chachma and he was extremely happy. It's a different type of happiness. Okay. The question was that I said that in the Rambam, Honochi Oko Ve'efa, so that was the height of Avamah Hinayi Tanim. So you ask me, why did the Rambam choose this case? Why did the Rambam choose something else? Because he went out to the Ochim and he bowed down before them and he begged them and please say, yeah, who are they? Nobody. Church knows them either. Knows them either. Right? One of those. But the answer is that what is meant here by Anivas is the recognition, as I said last week, of the fact that man, when he sees reality, he sees it as a psychological and physical creature completely insignificant. That's what I mean. And means the I, which is the psychological I, is he has the recognition that this whole thing is, I'm completely insignificant, I'm nothing, like a speck of dust in the universe, it's nothing, I'd be worth it, that's a vapor, like a speck of dust, an earthly off a vapor, that's what it means. But the fact that a person does humble actions, that is not yet the indication of the total evaluation of the self as being off of a vapor, as being like a speck of dust. Okay? It shows traits of humility. But the ultimate humility is in that sense. And if a person is truly humble, he wants to say those same words.
Wanochi Yochaveta. Those are the words that will come to his mind.
Yeah, this is the other. That's what I said.
Exact expression. Expressions in the third exact. You need to take a person extremely humble and truly perceive to Chachma what the man is, what he is personally.
That's what I'll say.
Wanochi Yochaveta.
Okay.
The question is a classic question. Should you teach a child in rational things? like a Mr. Rogers philosophy. You are very special. Who is he talking to? Every child that's watching the television. That seems to be impossible. Listen, now listen on this one. My point is this, that in our society, a society that caters to the emotions, so what they want to do with the child is actually give the child what they themselves want and can't have. So the child really is them. And in turning to the child, they'll say things that are nonsensical, but things that they would like to be able to believe, were it not for the fact, as I mentioned before, that they have another real thing of reality which tells them it's not true. Okay? So, therefore, the psychology is based on that kind of an approach. I don't think that Yadis endorses such an approach. But that approach is based, again, on the pleasure-driven society that we live in, which just think that anything that feels good for us, and if we can fool somebody else into believing that, then they'll have the ultimate of what we're after. It's because the people themselves are after foolish, nonsensical things. I don't think it's good to tell the child of this stuff. I don't think so. It's something which I think is wrong. I don't think you should try to reinforce a child's feeling of self-worth. I think that a child, if you don't disturb the child, they have their own feeling of self-worth. It's not necessary to reinforce it. And to attach that feeling to a silly idea, which, at a very impressionable age, they're going to be attached to, and within a few more years, they're going to see reality contradict, and the rest of your life, they're going to try to jump up and back between you. You try to fool themselves and see you're very special, and they see other people that are also feel the same way, they're also special, but they're not as special as I, because of this. And then you constantly throughout life try to return to this idea which is completely foolish. I don't think we should do that. I'm against this type of thing. Again, you see where the shallow psychology of this society, because it is not a thinking society, sets people up for destruction in later life. Because things are attached to these ideas in early youth, they think that this is the ultimate thing. And the funny thing about a person is, unfortunately, that ideas that are taught to a person when they're very young are popular in the emotions that are attached to it. It's difficult to remove. And if you wouldn't give the child that idea, you wouldn't have that problem with it. Okay? So you have to be careful. That's why in Yadis Chinuch, it's important to raise a child according to the Torah ideas. The Torah ideas, you don't teach anything false. We don't have any kind of fairy tales in our system. We teach a child about Avraham Avinu. Okay, he doesn't understand Avraham Avinu. But it's true. What you're telling him, insofar as he knows, it's true. You never tell a child. There were psychologists who didn't want to say that fairy tales are good. You guys say that they help the child psychologically. I'm completely against the Torah. Absolutely wrong. No false idea should be taught to a child. The Gemara says, now I love a child. Not allowed to tell a lie to tell. Never allowed to tell a lie to tell. Not allowed to tell a lie to tell. Okay, and as a matter of fact, that's another thing of the society also is completely misconstrued. We say that when does a person go to yeshiva? To yeshiva, you look at the tefillah. 6, 7. Now they got 2. 2 years old going to yeshiva already. 18 months? Yeah. You have to, if you read Jews as one thing that the Jew has, what the mark of the Jew is, that a Jew is courageous and he does not have the ability to negate what the rest of the world may claim. That's the only thing. There's a simple thing. I mean, you take a look at our history, just briefly, and you see how a whole world of good. And believing in a man and that he's a god. And if you look through our history, you'll see, did any Jew, unless he was sick, did any Jew ever take it seriously? Nothing. He was like the biggest galacha, the biggest joke. The simplest Jew just knew this was crazy. But Of course, in front of Doyle, he will be training him. He will go work away.
Maybe go.
It never affected the jury, even the simplest one. I mean, the fact that there were millions of people that were under this delusion had absolutely zero effect on it. They used to herd the Jews into churches and have them be exposed for the whole Sunday to listen to these preachers.
No effect.
Zero effect.
Okay. What's the most absurd of it?
He's saying that the whole thing wasn't changed. But the Jew has the ability to, he's not affected by the message. That's really a family view. What's a family view? Call all the neighbor up as well, the neighbor up. That's all kinds of things. And we should really continue to be that way. We should continue to be that way and not accept too quickly changes in society which are based on conjecture. When we have a Messiah, it has to raise our faith. Okay? And one of the recent things is, one of the recent ideas is that it's important that children go to school at a very early age because it's important to teach them how to socialize. Him or her how to socialize. Okay? This is. Alright? Where does the school come from? Because everything is socializing, and the whole life is socializing, and you can't socialize properly when your life is worthless, which is another false value of our society. And some of the greatest people that ever existed were not very good at socializing. And to present people with this false notion is in itself a distortion of philosophy, a total distortion of philosophy. But because we're in a pleasure-ridden society, the society grows not in effect with them. The truth of the matter is that the whole idea is false. That, as a matter of fact, recent studies show that it's false. The studies show that some of the greatest people in history stayed at home with their mother until they were 6 years old, never socialized with anybody. Okay? And the whole idea that socializing has to be learned is based on nothing. What is it based on? Having proof that socializing has to learn how to socialize? The truth of the matter is a person has a normal sense of socializing by nature. It's not something that's been learned. It all has to be learned if a person's abnormal. A person normally is very socialized. So this idea of taking a child at the age of two and teaching them how to socialize is another nonsensical notion of our society, and we shouldn't be so quick to change the way we raise children based upon every idea that comes along in a society that just grabs onto anything which their emotions are attracted to and possibly destroy our children. So the concept that we have, or a child has to be with his mother. That it turns out that the latest study says that was more important. That taking a child away from the mother on the country is dangerous to you. It removes a certain kind of security that the child ordinarily would have by being with the mother. And teaching it to socialize is actually, you're taking a chance and making it into a psychological wreck. In which case, you won't be able to socialize the wreck. So you have to be careful with these kind of ideas. This is very cautious, very cautious. You don't jump at every idea that society comes up with. I personally think that it's wrong. It's not a good idea. So I remember there was a time when they were teaching the children how to read the New York Times at the age of three. Okay? And they thought, it's not a very ego fantasy. Super geniuses are going to produce super geniuses. Turned out that the whole thing was ridiculous. That the child who read the New York Times at three, when he was 12, he read the same New York Times as a child that started at 6. There was no difference. Absolutely no difference. People think that they could just, any kind of thing that enters their mind becomes a new theory, a new experiment, they're going to promote a new insight into a new kind of genius by these methods. The human mind is not so simple. Not such a simple tool. Not so simple tool. No one changes it so quickly. Yeah. Okay. Not denying that a person who can clarify, help you clarify your thoughts, is beneficial to you without any question. Not denying that. Not denying it. That's a sign off. If a person has a problem, you should discuss with somebody. That's a sign off. That's a sign of Achera. Mishnah Chazal. Chazal say, if a person has trouble, so the prophet says Yasi Chena. So Yasi Chena, the Gemara says, has two implications. One is Yashashem al-Acherim. It means you can talk it over with somebody else. Like being a friend. You can talk it over with somebody else. An intelligent person And they're objective so they can help you clarify your thought. That's a valuable tool. But there's another Yashikhan, other Gemara says, the Yashikhan and the Gaita. He needs to push it out of his mind. Two opposite things, two opposite suggestions. So what the Chazon means is that there's two types of things that plague a person. Sometimes a person is plagued by a problem that requires resolve. Then you have to have an intelligent individual to talk it over with and to clarify what the problem is so you see it clearly. That's the Yashikhan Alachar. But sometimes a person is plagued by nonsense. And it's Yashikhan and Nijaita. Forget about it and get yourself involved in something important. And the problem goes away. You have to know when to do what. Okay. That is part of the problem that I was talking about before. In our society, the internet plays a person, right away he sees them to psychology. Depends. Sometimes he has to find a mediator. Sometimes he has to recognize, look, I'm just wasting my energy in this area, and let me get involved in something important and forget about the nonsense. Okay. Always say, Chazal says, and Pogba Bach that a person should first strive, if he's disturbed, he should first try to direct his mind to something important. That's the first thing a person should try. And how does he do that? Get up a seder, go to the Beit HaMidrash. If a person gets involved in important ideas, why should he waste his time with it with an answer? Plenty of person sit around with an empty mind, account with plenty of problems. That's a human nature. That's a chance that you're going to keep on going. So a person, the first thing a person should do is to take a hold of himself, do whatever means necessary, go to Havisa, learn the basic methods, whatever, go to a shiur, whatever it is, to direct his energy to a higher source. If you can't do that, that's a different story. Then you should be able to see the problem, then you have to work on the problem. But that's the advice for all this. Okay. Now we said all this. The Bill and the Ross have the opposite. The first thing he had was Chalitius, he was driven towards money. And, you see, he went to curse the Jews because of the fact that what? Because of financial reward. Well, okay. So what does it mean? What's the riot? It's interesting. Rashi brings a different riot. Rashi in the Chumash is different riot. But it says, because what he said was, when God told him, don't go, so then he said, immediately, Boaz Malovay shall test of his heart. If Boaz will give me all his treasures of gold and silver, I can't, I can't go. I'm constrained by God, and I cannot go. But what did he say? What would be the ultimate inducement? The ultimate inducement is being Malovay shall test of his heart. So you see that it was a man, but that's what he really was. A person gives an example and says, if he gives me all whatever he mentions, that's what he really wants. But Rashi says, because that's what he said, even though he never says it's all. That's Rashi says. Correct, true. The Rambam doesn't agree. But the Rambam saying is different to it. He says the fact that he was hired, but the fact that he was hired doesn't show that a man is running after money. So what? Everybody's hired for a job. A person does a job, he's hired. Does that say he's running after money? What indication is there from that? So what's the answer? The answer is he hired Bullock. He did it for money. The thing is like this. The thing is like this. If a person is hired to do something, it's a mutual job. Whatever job might be, psychologist, physician, carpenter, whatever it is. So then there's no indication that he's a man of money, he's hired to do the job. But in something like cursing and making, it's not a neutral kind of activity. Not a neutral. Cursing of people? That's a serious thing. If you think that you could destroy a nation through your verbalization, somehow affect them or other in some way or other, that's a serious thing. The question is, what kind of a nation is it? If it's a good nation, you wouldn't want to do it. If it's an evil nation, you wouldn't want to do it. So if Bilam really thought that this nation is deserving a curse, you could be sure Bullock wouldn't have spent any money. Because Bullock would mention the problem to him, and Bilam would have said, I'm going to do it. Apparently, The fact that Dylan didn't respond right away shows you that Dylan really wouldn't have done it on his own. He would not have done this. The only way that he was induced to do it was through the money. Which means that basically he was against doing it. It's an interesting one. But basically he wouldn't have done it. Why wouldn't he have done it? Maybe for political reasons. Political reasons or whatever it is. It's not what he personation. It's not something for indignation. Why personation? Political reasons. It's not an intelligence to do. Whatever reason it was, I wouldn't say it was a small. But whatever reason it was, apparently politically it wasn't an intelligence thing to do. You need other name after that as a person who has a tainted, evil. Yeah. And the successor of the Jews are, his name is going to be, will be proportionally, lower. So he wouldn't have done it. So what convinced them? The money. That's what I'm saying. That's a person, that's your karmic moment. And a person does something that's distasteful to him, only because of money, is an indication of the importance of money as well. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Now he says like this. For Omnam, Rose Kaivoso de Inan Mizdo, Hisiba Sakoso, this is the second. Hisiba Sakoso Lavolos, the Yasin Anasin is Nursing Israel, the Yasin Zonos Nifosomos, the Lula Rova Taiva, the Hoysolo, the Yosas Nusol, the Vain of Lahoya, the Lahoya Mitzavabos, and the Nifos Mayara Main of Rakasi Daiton. Okay. He says like this. He says, you know what Bilam says to us. Bilam's advice, ultimately, he wasn't successful in cursing the Jews and pronouncing the curses. On the contrary, he mentioned great things about Father Israel. Great things, he's so great that they put in power. Okay. A preparator, just like part of the word that most of them received, Bilam's words were in power. But he had an answer, he had advice out there. The advice was, now, if you want to destroy Kai Yisrael, the way to destroy him is through sexual promiscuity. And he had a whole system worked out. That you have them come down to the market, and then you had in the outside of the booth, where they made a whole marketplace. Outside the booth was an older woman, and then they would start bargaining, they'd take them to the back, and in the back was a young, beautiful girl. And then they would get seated to entice him, get him involved in this, and eventually he'd be a vodazor. He'd entice a vodazor. So that was his system. That was Dylan's apron. Okay? So, what does this show? He worked it out, he knew the human nature. But his advice basically was that the way to destroy Kargisrael is to remove the one quality that they have. And that is that they're sublimated people. Their energy is sublimated. The Jew is a sublimated creature. That's why the truth of the matter is, you see, like the Jews even in business, see, they're very tremendously successful. And Chazal say, it ain't here. Basically, Chazal say that this nation, either they're involved in the height of Mr. Gassim, or else they're involved in the Chachma Chatar. Okay? Not with the kind of, I mean, to say the moment you got that. But even in the sense of they're self-destructive. Because the people are sublimated. But the sublimated people, so the energy flows away from the physical into some kind of sublimated form. Money, power, this, whatever. So if it's misguided, it's going to go into nonsensical areas. That's the trait of our nation. So Dylan knew this, and he said the way to destroy them, if you want to destroy them the right way, is to bring them down to the physical and the sensual. Bring them in, that's the way to destroy them. That was his advice. Okay? That's basically his advice is unfortunately taking place today without an advisor. That's the allow the Jew to fall to American society, the life of Tiber. And that's what this was. So, absolutely. Okay. So the Rambam says from this an interesting thing. And we have to work together to try to figure out what it means. He says that this proves that he is a man of Taiva. Why? Because he says if he wasn't a man that believed that the good is the instinctual, he never would give advice like this. Because a person only gives advice in accordance with his belief, with his framework of thinking. So, therefore, it says this shows that Billy Neary was a person that believed that the good, the physical good, is the spiritual good. That's the real good. That's what he was really at.
Okay. It's happened to the unknown. Why is it so? It could be he thought that that's not the good. But he's an intelligent man. He's hired to destroy this nation. It's a wonderful idea. It's a brilliant idea. It's a true idea. It's a true idea. This is happening today. Billy Neary is not man. He's happening today. He's right. He was right. Okay. So why does it show what his value system is? How does it reflect what his value system is? That's the question you have to understand.
In other words, there are two areas we say that the Rambam thing is there are three areas actually of imperfection that we mentioned about the Billy. One is what? One is haughtiness. One is his involvement in the spiritual, and the third is his running after money. Okay, his running after money. Now, because a person has a particular imperfection, you can't always say that this reflects on the individual's whole philosophy of life. Okay? Let's say, for instance, a person has a weakness with money. So it doesn't mean that the person is totally evil. You could have a weakness with money, but it's a weakness. So philosophically, he really doesn't believe that that's good, but he can't help himself. Okay? Because most people are falling to that type of category. Alright? Not strong enough to uproot the emotion, but yet they're not believers in it to the extent that that's their whole value. Okay. But the Roman thing is like this. That is the Loma Russia. His weakness for money was really not because of it. Not because he believed in money, but it was just a weakness, basically. But really, before him, he had a picture of the true good. He had a picture of the ultimate good. And he couldn't live up to it. He had this weakness. So then he said like this. So he says, then he would never be able to recommend that people should be destroyed through promiscuous activity. Because it would mean that he believes in the good. If he believes that this is the, if he believes in the good, so then he wouldn't be able to destroy others, because that means how could a person believe in the good try to destroy others? It's a topic of fashion. It's a contradiction. Okay? The fact that he did that shows that he didn't have any concept of the good other than the physical. So then you could then give them the physical and take away from them the cover that they have. Mm-hmm. But if he was a genuine believer in the good and the abstract good, that there's a good for man that's beyond the physical, yeah, a person like that can't destroy another individual and cause him to forfeit it. That's an impossibility. It's a fact that was denied of an ultimate good. If he believes there's an ultimate good for man and that you're protecting that good, you can't destroy another man. It's impossible. And that, in other words, has him make sure he's robbed of that good. The moment you do that, you're looking at the good not as the good per se, but as some kind of personal gain. In a personal gain, you say that. I want the money, I don't want him to have the money. But if that's because you're operating on the instinctual level. On the instinctual level, you can say, here, but the instincts are for me, not for him. So I want the money, I want him to have it. But if you believe in an objective good, you can't say, I want that good and not him. If you say that, by definition, you're putting into an instinctual framework that it's only for you. If it's an objective good in reality, how could you deny another person? How could you destroy another person? It's an impossible psychological impossibility. You understand? Yes. The Bilam, no Russia ever thinks that the good is just a physical and instinctual per se. He thinks that's something that he wants, but it has to be in a certain framework. He wants honor, he wants money, he wants his sensual satisfaction. But he, a smart man like Billy, most of these things are. He doesn't lose the big thing, the control, and the power and the fame because of an involvement in one sexual act. I mean, he's not foolish. But of course, the ultimate thing that he wants is either in the form of honor, or the form of money, or power, or sexual enjoyment. I mean, basically, those are the things that he gets. He's instinctual. Okay?
So that's what the Ramana is saying. Ramana is saying that since he sees that he tried to destroy these people with this, there's no way that he had any idea of the good.
Period.
And since he has no idea of the good, the only thing that he could, that he valued was the instinctual. And he has to value, sexual as well as any kind of pleasurable experience, physical experience. But if he had an idea of an objective good that's a good for man and extract, you see, you couldn't destroy another person. It's impossible to destroy another person. It's psychologically impossible. Yes. If he didn't do this, you would think, okay, so he likes, he likes money. All right, so he has a witness. As a schwachkeit. He has a schwachkeit. It's like the love one said, there was a person that he knew that was very extremely stingy. And, years ago. And the person, he could ask him for a favor, he'll do any favor for you. As long as he didn't have to put his hand in his pocket. And he was even thinking his own life. And those days didn't know, smoking cigarettes and dangerous. They says, but he wasn't in danger. He was so stingy that he'd take a cigarette and cut it in half, and he'd smoke like a half a cigarette every 4 hours, or something like that. You know, like it worked out like during the day. There's another mercy. There's his help. But when he died, he had $500,000 in his, yeah. So, those days, that's a lot of money. Talking about 50 years ago, it's like a few million dollars for them. So, they were mentioning that this person, you didn't say this was an evil person. I mean, he had priorities. He asked him for a favor. He'll go and run and he'll do a favor for the community quicker than anybody else. But as long as he only hit one area.
That's it.
Oh, so that's a schwachkeit, a weakness, whatever. It's a weakness in that. But it doesn't show a distorted value. That's it. It doesn't show a distorted value. Whereas a person tries to destroy others through engaging them deliberately in the instinctual, that shows that he has no value. Shows that there's no concept of an objective system in his mind. A lot of concept of an objective system. He couldn't do such a thing to a person. Couldn't do such a thing to a man. Yes. Rambam is saying here is you have to realize what the Rambam is talking. Rambam is talking about an unbelievable kind of situation. You're not talking about a person who is selfish. A person who's selfish says, look, I'm going to take away your money. I'm going to take away something you have. Or I'm going to embarrass you or whatever. That's a different thing. Because there you're talking about a person who's gaining and they're instinct of empowering them. So they embarrass somebody, they slight another person, they don't care about other people. That could all be attributed to weaknesses. That's weaknesses. Fuck, you can't defeat the conflict, whatever. But a person who deliberately seems to destroy another individual, that's the case of Dylan. Now it's a different, Dylan, you have to realize one thing, that the characters in the Torah are unusual characters. The Torah only speaks about unusual characters. Unusual tradition and unusual resilience. Dylan was an unusual character. It wasn't just a common person. A common person we really can't learn too much from. Dylan is an example of an extreme of a certain kind of individual. He was a man that planned deliberately to destroy nations, to destroy people, and worked it out rationally. He was an ingenious fellow. He worked it out rationally. But what the Ram is saying is anyone that does that cannot possibly have any concept of an ultimate good. Ultimately good, you can't do that. Ultimately good, you might be able to, maybe you'll harm another person because of yourself, you're selfish, whatever. But to plan deliberately to destroy a people, you can't, that means you have no concept of ultimately good. Here comes ultimately good for man, that's impossible to do. That's what Ram says. Ram says the mere fact that he engaged in such an activity shows you that he was far removed from any kind of concept of what you have to find. It seems to me that Bilam had no concept of the ultimate good at all. That's what the Ram is trying to say. So therefore, all his energies had to go into the money or into the instinctual. That's what it is. But you see also, there's another point I want to mention. You see also that he couldn't have been a person that was simply indifferent to the instinctual. Because if that was the case, he wouldn't have known to create this whole system where you entice people. The fact that he knew how to do that,
You have been on your
head. No, I'm not supposed to be
good. The first thing you see that he did it, the first thing you see that he was able to work out a whole plan, it means he knew very well what the area, what the seductive is. He knew that area very well, which means to say he wasn't indifferent to it. So therefore, you see that he had no concept of what perfection is, no idea of an absolute good, and he knew very well the area of the sexual sphere and how to work in that area to induce people. So that means there is no question that the man had anything in that area. That's what he meant. That's what Ramana said. From that into the two things. He had no idea of the good, and that he knew very well the particulars of the area of the sequel, and that's why you see that that's where the energies were. That's what Ramana said. Yeah. Oh, Bilam is a great rusher. Great rusher is a person that has tremendous capability. Yeah, I'm not a fool. A fool by us is not a rusher. Yes. The fact that he wants to destroy the Jews, because he's overpowered, he's not concerned about the people reaching perfection, but to destroy them specifically in a way which is harmful, which is the most harmful thing, shows that he has no concept of the world. It's one thing in general, but in specific. The specific plan shows it's great. But anyone that wants to destroy the Jews is bad. But he's showing you from his method that the specifics of his message, that it's impossible to say yes. That is what he's attached to, that's where his energies are, and that he has no concept of the good. And it's different than just destroying the people in the okay. Next thing. Vom nom. Lo, he says it again. He brings into this. Rachacholam amru, bilam boil a sona haya. When he suffered, goes to me, she says, daito, for that he a pulata. It's an interesting thing. Because it's amazing. The Ram says that Chazal say that he copulated with his donkey. Okay? So he says, and there's no doubt that a person that kind of mentality would do such a thing. What is it? He doesn't take the Chazal as surprising. Okay. So, what's the shot? What does he mean by that? He copulated with his donkey. I think it was. Some kind of sickness or something. Deviant behavior. No. Nothing about deviant behavior. What does it mean? There's a chazal. There's a chazal. What does chazal say? Chazal say about Adam Harishon, Malame to bore before Chava. It means, chazal says, Malame to bore a kobayim a chayavol. It means say that Adam wrongly copulated with other species. But he was unsatisfied. Why? Because he realized that in man, the act of cohabitation has to be done with the man as far as he's man on a psychological level at least. On a simple physical level, there's no satisfaction. You see? But he was other. And that's why then you appreciated Chava, because Chava was something which there was someone who you could relate to him in the sense of another. But what the Gemara, what Chazal is saying about Bilam is that that's the present thing. That he was on a level where to him the sexual activity was completely instinctive. And that's why it didn't require the involvement of another human being. That's what it means by Allah. That's what Chazal means by Allah. It means that his level was such a low level that it was completely animalistic. Not even in a higher sphere of the psychological level. So the psychological attraction between the sexes. For him, it was purely reason. So, that's what he's brought up. That's what the Ram means. Ram says, and there's no doubt that a person who has this kind of a mentality, that for him, that's a possibility. Doesn't always, doesn't you have to understand, because I'm saying always. The thing is capable of such a level. Doesn't mean always. It means that he has the capacity to represent. So that's what I'm saying. There's no doubt that a person who's such a rusher, that this is part of a psychological makeup, and this kind of phenomenon is appropriate for him.
That's what I mean by bollocking.
So the Rambam says that what was really to his gaiva, his haughtiness, because he said, Nu'um Tomeya in the Kerab. He said, Nu'um, he called himself the one who hears the words of God, because he was in prophecy.
All right, so what's wrong with that?
He wasn't from anyone else. He wasn't from anyone else. He did? Did so? Yes?
I mean, the question can be about God, he states the truth.
About God, for me, he states something that he wants to be true, but not true about himself. But, what it means is what we said last time, that Bilam Yavuah was not due to his essence, not as a subject. His Yavuah was completely as an object, only because it was necessary for Klal Yisrael at that time that he should have this Yavuah in order that he shouldn't curse them, because the Benezer says if he would have cursed them, it would have affected them psychologically and could have destroyed them. So that's why it was necessary for him to have this Nevuah. But he had Nevuah as an object, not as a subject. So since he was only an object, he should never have said, you cursed himself, no one shall may I am a tail. No one is tail, I'm blind. The implication that this is, he's such an individual. He hears the words of God. He did. Oh, so no. He knew that he wasn't receiving the Nevuah because of his high level. And the Nevuah was simply, as I said, God said to him that I'm going to tell you what to say. It was all, wasn't because of his, wasn't a mind of Nevuah because of his level. Vayikar was in that one. So really, every time it mentions itself, Vayikar means Mikra. You don't have any other place like that. Vayikar, any of that. Because it means it was Mikra. Current. Mikra Bauma. So, happening. So therefore, he should never, what he did was, he took this happening with his head, and he converted it into, he spoke about himself, others didn't know, he spoke about himself, he used it to make himself appear as if he's really deserving of Nevuah, he's a Shomei Mekel. That's the highest gaiva. That's the highest gaiva. It's the highest gaiva because the man is taking, he's taking an area which is really the sublimest area, that a person hears Chacham Hashem, and he really knows very well he doesn't deserve it, and he's saying that he's the individual that listens to the words of God. He is tuned in to God's word. This is the highest diver. The person is a bon diver. What is the first word of a bon diver? Let's say I'm a genius in finances, whatever, I'm a great advisor, I'm a great physician, anything a person will say. You see? All right, but these things have limitations. People respect these areas to tell you names. Respect the position, respect the psychology, but it's a limitation. But where is an area where there's no limit, and where a person says he knows God's source, that kind of praise is the highest praise. Somebody says it, that's wonderful higher than that. There's not a limit, it's not anymore. This is a direct link to the Borei Olam, the creator of the universe. There is nothing higher. So he took for himself the highest crown, which is the biggest gaiva. Either a person makes believe he's a big coconut lump. A person makes believe he's a great status, a great hunt.